Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could slap my pussy and say, ew, I hate it. My guest today is a drag queen, comedian, actor, and costume designer. She was crowned winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6. You better believe it's fucking Bianca Del Rio.
Hello, how are you?
I am fabulous. Bianca, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. You have a show tonight, a show to, well, this is airing in January.
Okay.
We are recording this in November.
Yes.
Let's keep it real with the children. You're a busy fucking lady.
But you know what? Listen, I say this, you have to get out and hustle. And the biggest hustle is I can't complain. I've been home for a year and a half, you know, with this pandemic bullshit. So as soon as they said, let's get on the road, I packed my drag and said, fuck it, let's go and let's make it happen. So I've been fortunate enough to start the tour in September and it lasted until November in America. And I think it was something like 68 dates. And now we are, or 68 days. And I can't remember how many shows it was in between there. And, you know, then I'm going into a musical in Los Angeles that will be here in January.
Wait, what is this musical?
Well, I was doing this musical. I did it like 2.5 years ago called Everybody's Talking About Jamie on the West End. And I had 2 stints in it. I did an 8-week run and I enjoyed it so much. I went back and did a 3-week run in the West End. And then they offered me the tour, which I'm doing actually leaving on Thursday for, to tour the UK. And then we have a 5-week sit down here in Los Angeles at Amazon Theater. So I'm quite excited.
She's fucking busy.
Well, you know what? The thing is, you don't get in drag to not hustle. You know, these bitches that put on a wig and sit home and complain. And you know what it's like. You got 42 shows going on.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got to take it while it's in front of you.
I mean, You're right, because I'm always like, what if people stop wanting it? Right? I better fucking do everything now.
Exactly. And also, if you're enjoying it, I enjoy a busy schedule. I like a tight schedule. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I'm grateful for the opportunities. But, you know, the day-to-day back and forth, especially being on the road, you know, and schlepping from one city to the next by bus, is not the most glamorous. But it's better than going on an airplane. It's better going through security. So you can hit more dates and do more cities by being on the bus. So, you know, you pick your battles with this. And so I've been very lucky, you know.
Okay, so this bus.
Yeah.
Are there, there's beds, obviously, on this. I've never been on a tour bus. The only tour bus I, like, know of is Selena's tour bus in the movie Selena.
Okay, well, I would say what's great about it is there's about 12 bunks that exist for everyone else. But in the very back, I have my own room, which is fancy. Oh. So you get your, it's, you know, you set your air conditioner in your little cabin, which is lovely back there. And what's great is, you know how it works. You kind of get to the city around noon. You get into the venue. You set up all of your shit. You get into drag. I have a meet and greet at 5:30 that I hug 150 people before the show. And then they open the doors at 7. Everyone then sits down. The show starts at 8. You finish the show by 11. You get out of drag. You put on your pajamas. You get back on the bus. You pass up with Mexican Xanax and you wake up in the next city. So that's the magic of the bus. You know what I mean? That's the magic.
Wait a minute. I cannot believe you do a meet and greet before the show?
Yes, I do. I do that. Well, mainly because this is my system. And if you experience this, you'll understand why. Is that, first of all, in drag, I look fresher at 5:30 than I would after the show. And also, people are still scared of me then. They're not wasted yet. They're not drunk yet. They're still a little fearful. And usually the 150 to 200 people that come through meet and greet are the people that are in the first 20 rows. So even if the whole show goes to shit, I know I've got those 20 rows that I've met that I can use as part of the show. You know, whether I know who's the crazy one, I know who's the angry one, I know who's the couple, I know who brought their child. So all of that works to my advantage because that's usually all I see is the first 20 rows. So it's a win-win.
This strategery. Yeah, my goodness.
It's also like this great warm-up act. You know, you get to see the people that really like you. You get some time to spend with them. And, you know, after the show, you're a sweaty mess. They're going to be drunk. Then, you know, you're waiting to get out of drag. Your feet are hurting. So they catch me at a better time. And then when I'm done with the show, I'm out of that shit and on the bus. So it's a win-win for me.
This I love. Quick question. Do you wear heels while you perform?
Yes. I'm not lazy. Yes. I mean, what am I going to wear? Some orthopedic drag shoe?
Like, I would be in Crocs under the gown. Let's get real. I would not. I can't wear heels. I couldn't do it.
No. I mean, what's the deal here? Like, I mean, I guess with drag, it's just the way that it starts, you know, is that the big deal is you get your heels, you get your corset, you get your wig. And that's always been a huge part of it. And so I'm short. I think I'm like 5'8". I'm short by drag standards. Some of the ones you know are monsters.
Yes, but huge.
I'm about a 5'8", so a heel helps, you know, and then I get a big enough wig to kind of balance it out. But I don't feel complete unless I have heels on and earrings. Those are my two things.
A wig is for me. I don't like performing without a wig. Like, I'm I'm wigless today because she's in the home. But yeah, I don't feel complete unless I'm like, the wig is on, the lashes are on, she's here to do it.
You know, and it's also interesting to me how I've seen queens, it's the earrings that kill me because they spend so much time on their face. They have a wig and they have, you know, nails on and bracelets on, a necklace, and I go, why stop with no earrings? Nobody is pretty enough not to have a fucking earring on. Every time I will text a bitch, if I see them on Instagram, I text them, where's your earrings? Where's your earrings?
I fucking love that. I'd love to think there's a queen out there who's like getting ready, looks in the mirror one last time. They're like, Bianca's going to get me. I got to put on some earrings.
I got to put on some earrings. You need to, bitch. Nobody is pretty enough not to have them. I'm telling you.
This is a boring question, but how did you get into drag? I know that you were a costumer.
Yeah. It started kind of through costumes is that when I started, you know, acting, so to speak. But there was a show, there's this brilliant musical called Pageant that they were doing. And I was costuming the show and doing wigs and makeup for the show. And they needed somebody to play an extra part, a show. And it was this weird part that covered a costume change. So I kind of went into the show just thinking I was going to fill in. And then it kind of snowballed into 26 years now. Well, January would be 26 years of doing drag. So it's this crazy ride that I didn't plan or didn't think would happen, but it definitely started through theater, which is the way to go, you know?
26 years.
I know.
She's older than she looks.
Well, I got a good doctor. Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, give me the fucking number. Your skin is incredible.
I'll hook you up. No, the thing was, you know, I don't think it was ever, you know, back then drag was, you couldn't find it anywhere. It was either in a gay bar or a small cabaret space or theater, you know? So it wasn't as celebrated as it was now. We didn't have social media, obviously, or Drag Race or, you know, there was Rue on television with her VH1 talk show at the time and stuff. But that was probably the biggest untouchable moment. You're like, oh, I'll never get there. That's never going to happen for me. Those opportunities don't exist. I mean, I was doing drag when the gays didn't even like drag. You know what I mean? Like, the, you know, the fags at the bar were too butch for drag queens. So that was a different time. There were bars I couldn't get into if I was in drag because they were men's. Yeah, there were men's bars. Yeah, we're all about men here. We're not going to have you in drag. And now those same faggots are just running out of the bar to get a fucking selfie. So, you know, that's our community.
I just think it's so weird to be like, I mean, I guess it happens with like black people too, when you're like an other in society to like other, the others, others.
Yes.
That makes, like, just be like, okay, so we're, you know, the other group, but then there's a, like a weird set of others that we
without
don't fuck with.
Yes.
It's just like, why? Why are we all, why do that? It's truly insane.
Well, you know, the gays are the worst, but that's usually how they operate. I mean, it's usually, it's the gay. It's like, we want acceptance, but you can't come in. And that's what it was. That's what it was early on. It was very segregated on that level. And, you know, lots of people weren't interested in drag queens. I mean, because if you did drag, it's too feminine and we're not, we're not interested in dating you. But now it's changed the game, you know, with Drag Race. And also people never saw us out of drag. No one had really cared, you know? So now that drag is in people's living rooms and they see you as a person or see you as an actor or see you as a performer, it's a different game, you know?
Yes. Bianca, let me ask.
Yes.
Are you single? Are you in a relationship?
I am single. I have had two long-term relationships that were, you know, choices I had made prior to Drag Race. The ones I had after Drag Race have not turned out so well. And, you know, it's that weird thing now where I'm 46 and everybody's younger than me as it is. So it's a weird dynamic because you want to meet somebody that's aware of what you do for a living, but you also don't want to date a fan. So it is that weird place. And where do you meet people? You know, it's like friends of mine are always saying, you need a doctor. That, you know, I said, I can't even get in a fucking appointment with my insurance. How the fuck am I going to get to date a doctor if I can't even get seen by one? So
I was trying to do a matchmaker and I filled out this whole thing. And then 2 years later, they were like, hey, Nicole, are you still interested? And I was like, no. 2 years passed. You're not even going to acknowledge that the 2 years passed. You're just like, hey.
Yeah.
You've been waiting for this. And I'm like, yeah, I've been waiting, but not for you. Goodbye.
No, it just seems so, it also just seems so weird to me. I don't know. Even like the Grindr situation, I was like, okay, well, let me see what the kids are doing on Grindr, you know, if this is going to work. But then I was reported for not being me. Someone didn't believe that it was me that they thought. And I'm like, well, then that's just too much bullshit. So it's one more thing to scroll through. And you know, I find, and I'm a firm believer, I don't know if this is you, Nicole, but I believe you can't have it all. You know what I mean? So I'm a firm believer with, you know, I'm best when I'm single because I'm focusing on what I can control, which is, you know, my career and my schedule and my life. That if I get somebody in there, I get too wrapped up. See, I'm the giver. And then I start, you know, making sure some bitch is okay. And I'm Daddy Warbucks. And, you know, little Annie ain't worth it. She's still a little bitch. So I've had to come to terms with that. I had to come to terms with that. Like, maybe it's not for me. You know what I mean? I can go be a hoe, but I don't need to be attached, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't. So the thing I worry about is if I were to be in a relationship and I was happy, I'm like, what would I talk about on stage?
Agreed.
How do you make happiness funny?
No, and exact happiness is not funny. And also, some of us are not meant to be happy. That's what gives us the gift of being. No, I'm serious. I mean, being a miserable cunt is a gift, I do believe. At least we're using the proper outlet. You know, we're not that miserable cunt that's sitting in a cubicle. We're a miserable cunt on radio or on television.
Yes. Yeah. On TV, on that's the stage, being like, we're all miserable, right? And everyone's like, yes, yay! I spent money to hear you be miserable.
Agreed. So I think that's what's important. I think at least we have something, you know? Mm-hmm. It's better than the alternative. And to be honest, you know, with gay relationships in particular, especially with social media, I know several people, I'm not going to name names, but on social media that will post a happy photo of a queen with a little boyfriend and they're eating a cupcake and they're just happy as can be. And I know good and goddamn well that they're fucking other people and they're lying to each other. So it's really hard to, I guess, find that genuine aspect of it. I don't believe any relationship I see because I can read between the lines. So I don't know if someone would bring me happiness. I wouldn't mind somebody coming along to enjoy the ride because I get some amazing experiences. But it's been very difficult finding that person. It really has.
Yeah, I don't know where that person lies. Like, who's just like easy breezy, easy to be around, happy for you at all times, fucks you, takes you out to dinner, isn't annoying, is happy with you going out of town for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Chill with your success, has their own shit going. Like, where is that person?
It's never the person I attract. I can tell you that. It's never. And that's been the crazy thing. And if you ask somebody of that, or if you, you know, someone always says, oh, I've got this friend that loves you. And I go, well, what does that mean? Does that mean, oh, they loved this idea of you on Drag Race, or they love you as a drag queen? And then you got to break that shit down because you're dealing with different personalities. But, it's tricky. It's tricky. And I know several queens that date fans, you know, that get off on that, you know, that will, you know, have sex and scream hallelujah. And I don't, that's not my kind of thing. You know what I mean? That's not my kind of thing. No.
Yeah. It's not my type of thing either. I guess it's because I'm like, I want to be loved and I want someone who's just like in it for the long term. Cause I'm like a fan. There's nothing more unattractive or unappealing than like fucking someone, rolling over, and they're just like, so what's it like to do this and this and this? And you're like, it's my fucking job. It's a job.
It's exactly. It's very hard. It's a very thin line to find somebody that's complimentary and understands it and appreciates it to someone that is a crazy fan. And that's the area that gets really gray. And I don't mind people being fascinated or interested. And I'll give anybody a chance. I mean, I'm not picky. So it's one of those things where I'm like, let's see. You know what I mean? I don't have a type, so to speak. So I don't cut people off. But overall, it's never really kind of worked out, you know, the maturity level of understanding, you know, we need to find Dolly Parton's husband. You know what I mean? That's the kind of husband we need.
This man lives in the shadows, loves that big titted blonde bitch, has nothing to say, talks to her at home.
Yep.
I love it. And she's always like, isn't he great? And it's like, we don't know.
We don't know. We don't have a fucking clue. And that's how it should be. How lucky. But you know what?
I love that.
If anybody deserves it, it's Dolly. You know what I mean? So you go, good for her. But that's what I think we need to find. I need to find somebody with no social media, somebody who that becomes a phantom person that can live around and entertain me when I need it, you know?
Yes, that's what I want. Someone who's just like, who could just giggle with me and then make me giggle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have this like idea in my head and I'm like, where art thou?
Yes. Well, I mean, have you, besides this one dating app, do you date regularly? Do you meet people that you're like, hey, I'm going to go out and hang out with them? Or
so since she became a Pfizer princess, she's been dating.
Okay. Now, what is a date? What does a date mean to you? Is a date like hooking up, or is a date like going to dinner, schmoozing, and we'll see what happens?
So usually no dinner.
Okay.
I gotta wait for the food. I gotta figure out a conversation with you. We gotta have a drink. And then the server's like, I fucked up your order, and we gotta wait longer. And then the service is bad. And then I'm there for 2.5 hours and you told me nothing interesting.
Okay.
No, we're gonna go for a drink.
Got it.
And I'm going to tell you, I have from 6 to 8 because I have something after. I'm meeting friends for dinner. And then if it's going well, I'm like, actually, I'm going to cancel dinner because there was no dinner.
Right.
Nobody's waiting on me.
Right.
So either have another drink and then like try to fuck. Or if I'm like, this person seems like they're trying to respect me, even though I haven't asked.
Yes.
I will not try to fuck them. And then, you know, try to fuck on the second date.
Got it.
So that's what I try to do. But dinner, no. That's like an investment.
Well, I do think that's an investment. And also dinner is tricky with gays, you know, because of the whole bottoming thing.
Oh,
so
yes,
they've
yes.
got to be careful. I'm not a bottom, so I don't worry about such things. But when they come, you know, you don't pick a Mexican restaurant unless it's going nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I always say when a bottom says it's not a good night, trust them. You hear me? Trust them, bitch. Trust them. But I think I think that's good though. I mean, at least that you're out there and you got to kind of see the people. The trick with it is for me, with the Grindr situation, I thought by traveling, I'm like, ooh, those nights that I'm in a hotel, this would be fun. Mm-hmm. But then also with the schedule, the nights that I'm off, I'm like, I don't even want to fucking have anybody breathing near me. You know, I'm just so... you know, so over it that my idea is like, wouldn't it be great? But like you said, if you could cut out the talking and the drinking and all that, and let's just get to it and get out, that's rare.
But people don't want to do that. And I don't, I feel like there was a time in like my early 20s where you could have like two drinks with people and they'd be like, okay, let's do it. And you're like, great.
Yeah.
But now that I've gotten older and I'm dating older dudes, I feel like they're like, I want to get to know you. And I'm like,
girl, for what? No.
For what? I'm coming through Tacoma. I'm not coming back here for another year and a half.
Yes.
We're never going to see each other again. Why?
But don't you find though, that's also, it's a little trickier now since the pandemic. Everybody is just like really fucking emotional and everybody's got this attachment. I've missed you. I just enjoy your company. No, bitch, suck my dick and let's go. Like that's what you want. You know what I mean? I don't need friendship. I don't need someone else to add on Instagram. You know, look, let's just.
Fully agree. I fucked somebody after one of my shows recently.
Okay.
And we like sat in the hotel room for so long just talking. And I didn't know how to be like, oh my God, don't you want to go home and go to sleep? I have to wake up early and get on a flight. But like, I've already invested 22 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But the crazy thing is though, that you know, you've been on stage talking all night to begin with. And then you got to fucking entertain this bitch after the show.
Yes.
It's like, look, if you know I did a show and you liked it, then fucking reward me with dessert and then just get the fuck out. Like, give me a little taste and go. Be a gracious bitch and take it like a hoe and get the fuck. Like, that's what I would want to have happen. Yeah.
That's exactly what I want. Real quick, we got to take a break.
Sure.
See Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy. I think I said, I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And oh, we're back. Bianca, I gotta know, how did you get into comedy? Have you always just, you've been funny? You're a funny person.
It varies. You know, it's one of those things where with drag, once I started doing drag, I was, you know, doing lip sync and shit like everybody else does, because that's what we all did in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was the host of the show was out. And at that time, nobody wanted to talk. Like, no one wanted to be in front of the audience because remember, this is New Orleans, 1996. So 2 a.m. on a Wednesday night, because we're a party town, bitch. the thing was, I was basically filling in for a host because she was out, and I basically had to talk while drunk people drank more and covered costume changes. So my hate and disdain for an audience is kind of, that's where it began. That's where the bitterness started. And I guess that's where it developed. You know, you find a set of skills when you're faced with a situation. So it wasn't like, let me tell you a joke. It was more of insult, improvisational moments that would happen because I'm just the clown at the circus in this bar at 2 a.m. doing a show. And through that is how it all snowballed. And then obviously once Drag Race happened, which was much later in my life, I was 37. Well, I was 37 when we started filming, 38 when I finished filming, in case somebody's going to try to fact check me on this bullshit because they love to do that.
People will. They'll tweet and be like, actually?
Yeah. when Drag Race happened, I was ready to hang up drag just in general. I thought, you know, I'll quit at 40. It's been a long run. I've been sick of doing bars. You know how that point in your life gets. Yeah. But you're like, I can't do this anymore. You know, the struggle is real. And working all day and doing shows at night. And sometimes you'd have a show. Sometimes you get fired. You know, it was the game. Then I said, let me try Drag Race. You know, I've seen some other untalented friends of mine find success. You know, Manila and Jiggly. And I thought, well, let me take a chance. So I went ahead and did it. And with that, I knew there was already a formula in place for Drag Race at that time. Mm-hmm. Everybody was doing music videos or albums or all of that. And we all had the same manager. And I told the manager, no, I don't want to do an album. I don't want to say, I want to tour. I want to do my own show. And so literally that May when I won through October, I traveled and hit every bar there was against his wishes. I said, I'm going every fucking place I could possibly go. And I went and round and round and round. And by October, I had my first show at the Gramercy in New York City. And that's where it snowballed. So now I'm on my fifth solo tour that I'm able to do globally, which is wild. So that was always my plan. You know, I said, if music videos made money, I'd have made 12, bitch. So the trick was to get on the road and to go to the people. So that's kind of how the game started, you know, and that's why I've always stayed in that lane. I don't get to do much television or much film work because of the fact that I'm never available because I'm on the road, you know, and I choose to be on the road, you know?
I mean, what a dream, though. Your journey is very much that of like a stand-up where it's like you do clubs. You do five shows a weekend to people who in some towns are just there to see whatever comedian on the weekend. And you're like, oh, you don't like me and I'm interrupting your dinner.
Correct.
Until you get to do like theaters. Like, that's the dream. Like, just to do a weekend of shows at a theater. And
girl, I mean, the insanity of it for me in general was just, you know, I have this amazing company that I work with AEG, who produces things. And this head of comedy, I was touring solo, you know, kind of mom and pop in it for the first tour. And I was in a lot of theaters that were owned by AEG. And the head of comedy is like, who is this faggot and why is he selling out? And let's talk to him. So they made me a great offer, which is how I've been able to get to do Carnegie Hall, which is how I've been able to get to do... what the hell was the one in Wembley Arena in the UK, which is 12,000 people.
Which so is it's, wild.
It's insane. It's insane. So it's just been this amazing, and I hate the word journey, but it's been this journey that I realized that the trick is to go out to the people, and that's what I enjoy doing, especially after this past year and a half, you know, with COVID. You're like, girl, I'm happy to see anything, you know.
But I mean, what a testament to like your comedy, your personality, your persona, because it's like this is your fifth tour. So like you're hitting, like you're revisiting spots.
Oh, God,
and people are
still
coming out. Like I'm sure people have seen you like 5, 10 times. People probably travel cities to come see you. So I think that's like so fucking cool. I saw you at Drive and Drag Rose Bowl. You were so effortlessly funny and like you're so fun to watch. And then a queen got on stage and was saying their thoughts about the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And you were so funny because I watched a switch in your brain go, people have phones, people record things. I'm going to just let this person say what they want to say.
Yes.
And when they're done, I'll continue the show. And I was like, woo!
Well, it's a tricky game now because as a comedian, don't you know this? There's no such thing as context anymore.
Correct.
So you say something and all of a sudden the punchline is what they post with no context about where it began or if it's a running joke or if it's a thought. And here come these people that already fucking hate you that go, bleh, 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 you know, and that's what I avoid. That's why tweeting can be tricky. We talked about that once before. Mm-hmm. It's like if you tweet the wrong thing or without context, they come after you. Now, when I'm on stage, the people know I'm a nasty bitch. The people paid to see a nasty bitch, and I gotta deliver being a nasty bitch.
Uh-huh.
But in that world, it does get very tricky. So sometimes you just have to bite your tongue and let it ride, let the wave pass, and then you just do what you're hired to do. But when I do my solo show, I no one's safe. I don't give two fucks. I mean, Jiggly Caliente came to see me the other day, and she said, girl, they're going to put you in jail. So I'm excited. I take that as a compliment.
I love Jiggly. So, girl, they're going to put you in jail.
They're going to put you in jail, yeah.
Like, what do you have any plans for anything else, or is live shows what you want to do for?
Well, the game is, and you know, we I think we were all in a place of what's going on during the pandemic that I knew I had a tour starting, and so we've done America now, and as I said, I'm going into the musical and back into the musical because it's doing the North American premiere in Los Angeles, but then I continue my tour, and that'll be Canada, and then it's Latin America, then it's all over the UK and Europe, and then it's all over Australia. So I will continue my tour into September of 2022. So I'm back on the road through that time. So I'm just happy to have a schedule. I really haven't thought it through. And immediately it was just like, okay, check this off the list. Let me get my, you know, vaccine. Let me do what I need to do. How is this going to work out for meet and greets? What theaters are we going to? And shockingly, starting with America, they were on their best behavior. They really did follow through. Shocking. Girl, even look, Florida and Texas, where masks and teeth are optional. They were on their best behavior. So I was quite surprised.
Lord.
I know.
How have the meet and greets been go? Like, I'm a little scared still to do meet and greets. So I haven't been doing them.
Well, they have to show proof of vaccine, and you also have to wear your mask. And then right when we have distance between us when we take the photo, and right when we take the photo, you can take your mask off. So that's the game. So I've made it through however many cities I've been through, and knock on wood, things have gone well. And also just people have been respectful. In the end, I'm still kind of shocked that people want to pay extra money to meet me. So you're just like, all right. But they do respect the rules. And, you know, thanks to Photoshop, they can move us closer together. But that's really, you know, the Avril Lavigne approach to meet and greet. But, you know, I still take the time to talk to them and schmooze with them. You know, they just have to keep their masks on while, you know, while we're doing all of it. So we have enough people around us and people on our team that keep them and remind them and make sure that we're all safe. And I get tested every goddamn week. So it's insane.
I get tested so much. I can't wait to not have a fucking nasal swab up my nose.
Oh, wait, they've been doing your nose?
Yeah, what do you get?
I'll talk to the, it's been up my ass, but I'll find out. I'm kidding.
Honestly, I would take it up my ass. Let's just call it what it is. She horny all the time. She always be wanting it.
A little tickle.
Just a little, tickle to the booty hole. Ooh, a little tight. Ooh.
Did you ever see that there was a fabulous meme that said, whoever has my voodoo doll, just please lick the booty hole.
I mean, Yes. Yeah. If someone has a voodoo doll of me, lick my pussy and then lick the booty hole, but don't go back to the pussy because don't give me a yeasty.
Got it. Got it. I didn't realize that was okay. So that's how that works. Okay.
Yep, that's how that works. Okay. Don't want a yeasty.
You got to do number one before number two. Got it.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Good to know.
And never to do the two switch because it's not no bueno.
I gotcha. Okay, great. Then you end up with a pumpernickel loaf. Yeah, you don't want that.
I love Cheesecake Factory and I love a pumpernickel loaf. It is so fucking good.
Well, that's also the advantage of being on the road is, you know, the food options. You know, you get excited when there's an Olive Garden or a Cheesecake Factory. You know, America, like that's like a step up. You're like, ooh, I've got options and large portions. So that's another advantage to the road. You know, when we have our off days that we'll have our family dinners where we end up at some restaurant of that type, which you don't really get when you're living in the cities. You know, we're living in New York or Los Angeles.
You eat delicious, very well crafted food. No, I'm kidding.
Right, right.
But I love shitty food.
Of course.
How do you relax, Bianca? Do you relax?
Xanax. I don't do well with time alone. Like people say, oh, you should take a vacation. Okay, I can have a day. You know, maybe putting things off. I like to read is one of the things I like to do, but there's always something to do and there's always something to think about, you know, and I don't do well with too much time off. That's why the pandemic was a bit challenging. I just moved into a new house. So I had that to take care of and reorganize and get my life together. But, it was kind of driving me crazy on the mental level because I just enjoy knowing I have a schedule. I need that. I need to know I need to be somewhere doing something, no matter how big or small. I just enjoy the busyness of it all. So unwinding is not an option. Now, I've been known to take a weed gummy and pass out in a pool.
Okay.
I've been known to take a Xanax and fall asleep on the beach, which is nice.
Okay.
So that kind of stuff I can do. Yeah.
I love how you're like, I'll sleep if it's tropical and kind of dangerous.
Yes. Yes. Completely. I'm risky like that. Yeah.
Okay. So me being a single woman.
Yeah.
Looking, trolling for dick. She's horny for it at all times.
Yeah.
What do you think I could be doing to get that dick?
Well, I mean, I think men would probably be a little more accepting or be open to your approach. I think your approach of saying, hey, let's fuck, is the way to go. I mean, it cuts out all the bullshit. I think that you're doing it right because you don't want to be that girl that's going, I'm hoping this turns into marriage. I mean, that scares a motherfucker. So, and if anybody agrees to that, they're crazy. But I think your boldness and thinking like a gay man is the way to go. It's saying, let's cut the shit, which most gay men should cut shit out because that's a technical problem. Although my good friend, Lady Bunny, says that diarrhea is a water-based lubricant. But nonetheless, when you're in the moment, I think being up front is the way to go. And I think you're doing that, saying, hey, I got a time between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. And look, I'm this, and I just want you to lick it and stick it and roll. I think that's the approach to go. And I don't know if you can do that on those sites. I don't know if those straight sites are that direct.
I mean, you can. I just feel like a lot of men have just, I don't know. Like, I feel like I said it before. I think things have just changed and they're like, wait, what? You don't want to like know how I went on a hike yesterday? And
no.
I'm like, I've never cared not one time about anyone going on a hike.
No, but what age group are you dealing with here?
So it used to be, I just recently upped it. It was from like 25 to 47. And now I'm like, I don't think I could fuck with the youth anymore.
Okay.
So I upped it to 29 to like 100. Because, you know,
all right.
An old horny man is just like, hey, yeah, you got what I like. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
You know what's funny is that I remember talking to a friend of mine one day and I said, you know, I just need to find some rich old man. You know, that's just what a rich old man. And my friend looked at me and said, cunt, you are the rich old man. And I realized, damn, she got me. But it's that thing, I think. I just think honesty is the way to go about it. I think it's just important to say, hey, this is what I'm into. This is what I'm about, you know, and nip it in the bud. If they start talking about their hike, bitch, I don't want to hear about your hike. I don't care. Or put that in your bio. If you go on hikes, don't tell me about
it. Don't tell me about your day.
Yeah. If you have extra time, don't bother with me.
That your friend saying you are the rich old man is like that Cher quote where.
Oh, yeah. Her mom
is like, you just need a nice man or a nice rich man. She's like, I am the rich man.
It's true. It's that scary thing where you're like, I mean, imagine how does Cher date? Like, how can you?
God.
I mean, you know, we're peons compared to Cher, but imagine that life, you know, and then also the fact that she's in her 70s and looking gorgeous. I'm hoping she's got some action going on because it's fucking Cher. But when you become Cher, it's like, is it possible to be a real person? You know, who could live up to that?
Yeah, who?
You know?
I feel like everyone would just be so disappointing. There's a wonderful clip of Cher meeting Kim Kardashian on The Kardashians. And Cher is just like, okay, thank you, goodbye. And you're just like, yeah, even Kim Kardashian doesn't impress Cher. It's incredible.
No, and there's few people that you could say that about, but Cher is definitely one of those that you go, yeah, maybe Oprah. Yeah.
Maybe you get a slight smile and like a, out of her, but like.
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah. But I mean, I can't imagine. I think that the best way to, I mean, I appreciate honesty, and that's very hard to find in the gay world. Let's be real. And even though I live in a world of make-believe, of, you know, fantasy and clownness, is that the biggest clowns I meet are the people that are like, I want to be in a relationship. I really want to make this work. I really want to see something with it. When all you want to do is fuck and then tell a story about it, which is completely fine with me. but let's just set the boundaries up front. You know what I mean?
I mean, sometimes I will just push myself to go on a date because I'm like, you know what? You might actually like them or you might have a really good story.
Yes. Story. Yeah, always.
I can't remember when this was, but I was like going out with somebody for like the second time and I was like, I really like them. And in my car, I was like, I don't want a story. I just... I want this to go well.
Yes.
And then sure enough, I got me a story out of it and didn't see them again. I was like, okay, maybe this is what it is. Like maybe the universe, God, whoever is just like, sorry, you have to stay single because that's how you've made money.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's where I have to tell myself as I paint myself as a clown every night. I have to go, maybe these are the cards I was dealt. Maybe I'm meant to just not be with it because I find that on every other level, everything works out so much better for me when I'm not attached. And also, I'm not into astrology or any of that bullshit. But I say that you know, maybe I'm just one of those people that, you know, I give too much attention to this person and it usually just blows up in my face, you know? So I think I do better because I can then focus on what I can control, you know, which is my own life, you know? And occasionally you pick up somebody here and there to have hookup, but overall relationships are just very, very hard. And also I think when you're a comedian or when you're out there and you're fearless and you're saying what you're saying, sometimes they're so intimidated by you that you can't get a person that's anywhere near your level. You know, I don't want somebody that's scared of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it would just be nice. I feel like I've had to explain to so many people that I'm like, okay, what I say on stage is, they're true stories or whatever. Yeah. But also, like, there's other stories that have happened that I don't say on stage because I'm a fully four-dimensional. I'm a person in the round. I'm a spherical person.
Not spiritual. Spherical.
No, okay, spherical. Yes. She's a bouncy ball. So I feel like people just get stuck on what they see on stage and they don't realize that, like, you have so many more experiences that you just don't choose to talk about because that's not inherently funny or that's not what I'm trying to paint right now or whatever.
Right. Or that's not mine. I always say that my job is not my identity, you know? And it's one of those things where, of course, I would like it if somebody understood it or has a sense of humor and gets it, because if it's dark humor or whatever, that helps. But God forbid, I'm not going to be cracking jokes or reading you when we're in bed. You know what I mean? That doesn't come to mind. It's happened. But it doesn't come to mind. So I think that's, it's like having a smart person that, oh God, this sounds crazy, but like having a smart person that just understanding. Why is that so difficult? Why is that so difficult?
I don't know. And it's truly, you distilled it to the simplest aspect of what we want. Just a smart person who understands.
Yeah, completely. Because the smart people usually get it and understand. You know, I mean, I have friends that are very smart, but I don't want to sleep with them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's weird because I don't know if there's a way out. I haven't seen any successful relationships, you know, in my world. As I said, the ones that I do see online, I question it because mm-hmm. I know a little too much information. But I also wish, sometimes I wish I could be like J-Lo and just fuck everybody and just move from man to man to man to man to man and then go back to the ones I had before. I mean, wouldn't that be nice?
What a dream. What a dream. Ugh.
What a dream. Like, she is never manless and it's fine. You know, it seems to be working for her, but I don't know if I could do that either, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you're too busy to balance that. I feel like I'm too busy to ever balance like a PR relationship and be seen here, be seen there. Now we're fucking this person.
Yeah.
That's like a second career she's got going on.
Well, that's the only career she's got going on. Let's be real here.
She'll do a movie here and there. And then she's like, Ben Affleck, where's my Dunkin' Donuts? Let's lay on a balcony.
Girl, that kills me. Those publicity shots. But it is interesting that that's basically what I know her to be. Is she a recording artist? Maybe. Is she a movie star? Maybe. Is she an actress? Possibly. But is she a hoe? Yes. And a damn good one.
J-Lo is a hoe, Jenny from the block, and they meant she was making her rounds on the block.
And she's been sucking lots of cock around the block, Jenny. I mean, I'm not mad at her.
I would love for her to send me a cease and desist. Be like, can you stop talking about me like this?
Please. But no, but in the end, you go, is that, I mean, it seems to be working for her, but I don't know if I could do it. But then there's that moment, you know, those peak hours when you're wide awake and you're just like, maybe that is the way to go. Maybe that is happiness, you know? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. But, like, also, she has so much money and stuff that, like, she doesn't have to hustle. I don't even know if she hustled to have a career. I don't know. I'm always, like, wondering about people who live like that. I'm like, what was your hustle like to get to where you are?
Because
you don't see everybody's hustle. You don't see everybody's, like, grind or whatever. But I wonder.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. And not to mention, just for the longevity, somebody had said, I read one of the, I don't know who it was, but it was something on Twitter. I was pissing myself. And they said, y'all don't give Jennifer Lopez enough credit for being a good actress. She's been acting like a singer for 20 years. And I have been cackling. It was not my joke, but I was cackling when I read it. I'm like, now that's good. Now that's good. That's good.
I love a shady tweet where you don't even tag the person. You're just like, here's a fun thought.
Uh-huh.
Because I think if you're going to be shady, you don't need to tag the person. Nobody needs to. They don't need to know.
No, they don't. No. And I also think that, you know, if it's coming from a comedian, I would hope the individual would have a sense of humor. Actually, I heard a story about Cher and Joan Rivers in particular, is that Cher was performing in Las Vegas, and so was Joan. And after Cher's show in the 70s, 80s, she would go see Joan at night. And she goes, Cher would get very upset if Joan did not talk about her in the show. Because, you know, she had all those jokes about Cher went shopping with her boyfriend at Toys R Us, you know, all that kind of shit, that she goes, she would be offended if she did not talk about her. And I go, now that's how it should be. You know what I mean? That's what it should be about. We should all be able to make fun of ourselves, for Christ's sake.
I feel like if a joke is coming from, like, a place of truth.
Yes, but that's comedy.
And it's funny. Like, the J-Lo joke, I think, is funny. I think even she would laugh at it.
Yeah.
I mean, if she had a sense of humor about herself.
Well, we know Mariah Carey was laughing at it. Yeah, you know that.
Mariah Carey's so fucking funny. I don't know her. Oh, yes. It was like an interview where they were like, Jennifer Lopez says she sleeps a full, like, 10 hours a night. And she was like, I would sleep too if I didn't sing. And I was like,
Shady.
It's so fucking funny to me. I think, like, I don't know, like, I wish more people could, like, laugh at themselves a little bit.
Well, they should. They should.
As opposed to just being, I don't want to say everybody's offended by everything, because I don't think that is a true statement. I think we're just becoming more aware of other people's experiences and becoming a little bit more understanding and sensitive. But I'm like, sometimes people get overly sensitive on behalf of other people who haven't even said that they're offended.
Well, that's the trick that's the thing that I find fascinating. And I often say, you know, I refuse to apologize for anything or try to do some PR stint where it's like, well, I didn't mean that. My words got no. Either you like it or you don't. It's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And also in the end, if the individual that I'm talking about ain't mad, why the fuck are you mad? And you already hate me, so you're looking for something to come after me with. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And that's where I say, you know, your audience is your audience and everyone is not going to like you, you know, and that is okay. But I also think that maybe, you know, it's not to say that people don't always have opinions, but I think because of social media, there's so much more noise, you know, and they just want to jump in the game and say, well, blah, 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 or you've done this or you've done that. And that's where, you know, then you're not my audience, you know, then you don't get it. So I'm not going to entertain it, which is probably the hardest thing, not to entertain it.
I agree with you because I don't apologize for jokes that I've said in the past that have offended people. I just don't tell them anymore.
Sure.
I'm like, I understand. Different. I get it. I shouldn't be talking about this.
That makes sense.
Like, if I apologize, then I'm saying I went on stage and was like, I intended to make you mad. I'm like, no, I thought it was funny at the time.
Exactly.
And now I've learned and I get that it's not funny.
Yeah.
Well, we're not giving people time to grow, I don't think.
Yeah. And also, I just think it's important that, you know, you don't need to apologize to something that it kills me because there's a fine line where when someone tells me, well, you know, that's offensive or I find this, that. Okay, well, that may not be funny to you, but it may be funny to someone else. So, okay, so you don't like it. Then maybe I'm not for you. You know, and I often say, too, you know, you've got someone like Celine Dion. She's a singer, right? Every song she sings is not a fucking hit. So what? Let's just kill her because she did this one song we don't like. And then therefore she's no longer credited as a singer and she no longer matters. And you're like, that's not how this works. Everything is not going to be a winner. Everything is not always thoroughly thought through. But I also refuse. Is she apologizing for some of the albums and hair choices she's had? No. Should she? Yes. But no, that's how I have to look at it because that's what people want from you. They want you to feed into their madness. And I'm like, I'm not trying to fuck with some 13-year-old girl on Twitter who's mad at me because she likes Trixie and doesn't like me. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
I mean, honestly, I think that is such a great way to look at it. It's like, we don't get mad at singers or whatever for like, you know, shitty stuff that they put out. And it's like, not every joke is a winner.
Not every
joke is a fucking hit.
Not even on the same night. Like one night it could kill, the next night it doesn't. It can work in this context or setting and not in that. And that's where the filming comes in and that's where the retelling comes in. And then there's no context to it, which really can change it. If you say, hey, I mean, there were some of the funniest jokes I had ever heard, which was Eddie Murphy and Raw back in, 1984, I believe it was. I mean, offensive gay stuff that I was pissing myself laughing at. But if you say it was from 1984, and this is what it was, and this is what was it's the context you need to understand. And I recently heard that he apologized for these jokes, and I'm going, this is crazy to me that why now, like at that time, that Richard Pryor, one of the most brilliant people, you know, I just think that that's where it goes wrong, and that's where I think wanting to be liked can get you fucked, you know what I mean?
I think I would appreciate it more. I didn't know he apologized for that because I think that special is so funny.
Hysterical.
And it's like, some of it is offensive. A lot of it is offensive.
Yes.
But it is the 80s.
Completely different time.
And, you know, there wasn't as much discourse and discussion over shit. So it's like, let's leave that art in that time. Like,
completely.
That's where that belongs. And we know that it's not okay now.
Sure.
I feel like people aren't being smart about stuff.
You think?
But then also there's the other side who's like, cancel culture is the devil. And you're like, oh my God, why are you being so wild about this?
Yes.
Because we want you to not talk about trans people anymore. You are mad.
Yeah.
This is the hill you're going to fucking die on. I feel like everyone is being insane.
Well, it's on level 10. And I think because we're so the access is there, you know, that we turn on our phones and it's either Facebook, it's Instagram, it's Twitter, you know, there's so much and they just need to fill it with context. You turn on the news, you know, back in the day, the news actually gave you news. Now they give you opinions. Mm-hmm. So imagine that times 10 with our social media world, you know, like I don't even have to watch the news anymore to know what's going on. I check Twitter. And then when you check Twitter, there's going to be 40 characters explaining what they think, and then this, and then that. So it gets really tricky. And as I said, without context or proper information or knowing where it comes from, it really doesn't help any of us. And it just becomes this vicious fucking cycle of bullshit that you're like, is this even true? Did this even happen? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I love that Twitter now is like, do you want to read the article before you retweet this? And it's like,
exactly.
I should. Yes. I should. What am I doing? Absolutely. I'm just like blindly like, this is terrible. Then you're like, oh, actually, I got to walk that back. That article has nothing to do with what I thought it did.
Nope, you're like, the headline led me to believe something else. Yes. Yes.
Bianca, we have to take another break.
Sure.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. Fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And we back. Okay, I just really want to talk to you about your like signature makeup style. Like, I feel you were like, this is how I do it. You're not getting anything different. And I love that.
Well, let's just be honest. There's certain queens that do things that are beauty queens, that are pretty queens, and they live by, okay, this is how I do it. Or there's just queens that are transformation queens, you know, that are like, hey, I can be anything. And look, I respect all of that. That is their art and everybody runs differently. I like a particular style. I know what works for me. And this is what I'm doing. And I'm making no fucking exceptions. And it, you know, it has evolved, obviously. You know, the more money you get, the more eyeliner you get, the more it starts to expand into your hairline. But also, I just think that that's just what I've always liked. I like looking artificial because I'm not going to be a pretty soft woman. I'm not trying to fool anybody. I am a clown. And that's just what I know that works for me. You know, so I love it. Especially, I was just doing a live the other day backstage and some bitch, you know, I was playing Gladys Knight because I'm trying to educate the children on important people that are performers. I'm like Miss Patti LaBelle, Miss Dionne Warwick, Miss Gladys Knight. I said, all of these brilliant women are still with us. So please celebrate these fabulous artists and stuff. And I'm playing songs and saying, you need to watch this concert. You need to watch this. So as I'm doing it, I had to stop Gladys Knight. Because some fucking bitch came in with her thing. Every time I see your stories, you've got the same makeup. I had to stop Gladys Knight and said, Look here, you fucking cunt. That's what I'm doing. This is, I'm doing the same show every night. Uh-huh. This is just what I'm fucking doing. You want to see looks? Go look at Nina Bodina Brown mm-hmm. with her little paper plate hats that she makes. That's, she'll give you looks. I'm uh-huh. not that bitch. I'm not that bitch. And why are you looking for looks from me when I gave you none on Drag Race to begin with? You know? So I'm not saying that they can't do what that is, but I'm going, what does that even mean? I was even told once by someone that I'm not a real drag queen because I don't lip sync. Whatever the fuck that means. But that's the world we live in. So as you're trying to educate people, this is their opinion. So they're like, oh, it's the same. You do the same makeup. Yeah, because when you look at a picture of it, you know that it's me. When you see a mm-hmm. wig, you know that's Lady Bunny. You know, mm-hmm. you see that dress and those legs, you know exactly what that is, you know? And yeah. I think that's, it's a Coco Peru, one fucking wig, her yep. entire career. Ugh. One fucking wig.
Those little bangs and that bob.
Bitch. And she is, I'm like, why didn't I think of that? So it's that thing where I go, that's your thing, you know, and that's what mm-hmm. works for you. RuPaul never wears bangs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody talking about that hot topic? No, but she's never worn bangs. Never wears bangs. Or as they say in the UK, fringe. She doesn't wear fringe.
There's no fringe on her.
No. So it's that thing where I just thought this is what works for me. And on occasion, you know, I have moments where I've been in dressing rooms with someone like Naomi Smalls and Plastique, mm-hmm. where I go, girl, why am I even trying? I mean, with those two, I mean, no. I mean, they are women. And mm-hmm. I mean, I am definitely their wicked stepmother. So it's that kind of a thing where I've just accepted this is what I do. And it's also, you know, for me, it's therapeutic when I'm getting mm-hmm. ready. You know, you set up and it's part of the process. I start going through my dialogue in my head of what happens with the show. I put on my Gladys Knight. I put on my Dionne Warwick or whoever the diva of the day is.
The diva of the day.
You know, you just go into the zone. So I know a lot of queens now have, you know, makeup artists that do things for them or have people that do their wigs. I still do everything myself because for me, that's the passion going mm-hmm. into the process. So yeah, that's kind of how it's evolved. And it just helps me get ready. It's like, right from this time, I start my process and people leave me the fuck alone. It's one of the few times I'm by myself, you know, where mm-hmm. I'm not being bombarded. And I'm not saying it's problematic. I mean, when I'm ready to be the show pony, I'm ready to be the show pony. I'm on time and let's go. Let's uh-huh. fucking go. Yeah.
Do you do your own wigs as well?
Yes. That's where I started.
Wig line is so clean. It's so nice.
Well, let me tell you, these hoes don't get it. Now, these hoes are all talking about, I spent $1,000 on human hair. And all my wigs are synthetic. All of them are synthetic. The trick to it is you have to have proper wig lace. And the lace is what matters. So if you're getting a manufactured wig that has the thicker lace because the wig was made on a machine, therefore it had to be thicker for them to run it under the machine. So therefore you're going to see it. But there's a process that you do before that, which I'll tell you privately of how I get it clean. But also having the proper lace is important. So I also have it custom for my head and then ventilate it, which then it fits my head properly. So there's no pulling and there's no sideburn action. And it's just a much thinner, more delicate lace that you have to just take care of, you know? Yeah, it's tricky. Yeah, and I mean, I'm wearing still some of the same, because I do a lot of piling of hair, you know, like Legos. Some of the lace fronts I still have, I have multiples in same colors, obviously, are from when I wore on Drag Race 8 years ago.
That's insane.
And the thing is, the lace is an inch long and you can't spook it and untucked with that shitty fucking lighting. Because we were back in the day where I think we were filmed in HD, but when it aired on Logo, it was not in HD. But I think on Netflix or wherever it is now, it's an HD. But yeah, that lace is an inch long and you can't see it. It just melts into your skin. Even Courtney Act, who has her own wig company, is always like, that hairline, bitch, that hairline.
It's incredible. I like... When I get to meet you up close, I was like, stop staring, Nicole. Like, look her in the eyes. Like, be a normal person. But I was like, fuck, man. Like,
you come backstage, truly, I'll show you. I'll show you. You come backstage. I will show you properly. But that's, you know, that's also just been a thing. You know, I started with wigs for the opera, you know, and I was making wigs for opera divas. And, you know, as the women got bigger, the hair had to get bigger, you know.
I love it.
That was the game. Many Madame Butterflies were done. So, you know, the folding of black hair, I know what to do with. And I guess that's just how I've always looked at it. And there's something, as I said before, just therapeutic about getting your own self together. I'm not stressed. I know what I'm doing for for myself. I know what works for me. I know what I can get done in a short period of time. And it's just my little process.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I love just getting ready for a show alone in the hotel bathroom. And just I take like an hour and a half and I paint and I curl and put the lashes on. And I'm like, she's ready. And then I'm like, oh, no, I'm running 5 minutes late.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course. But that's also the thing, too. It's just, you know, all of that is just part of the package that you do. Like, I've been on the street where someone will walk up to me and say, read me or say something funny. And I'm just like, bitch, I'm at Starbucks. Like, this has nothing to do with, like, you got to catch me when you're paying, you know, because then it makes sense.
I'm off the fucking clock.
Yeah. And also just that it doesn't work that way. When I'm in that, you know, that monkey suit or that suit of armor, it's a different game, you know, that then all bets are off. But just walking down the street, I might have an opinion, but I'm not, you know, letting everybody know about it on the street, you know?
I absolutely understand that. Bianca, we've come to the end. I ask all my guests this real quick.
Oh, God. Okay.
Would you date me?
Yes, I would date you in a hot minute. And I already know the trick. I know the trick. You're not going to waste my time. I'm going to lick your pussy before I lick your asshole. I'm not going back and forth. And listen, I'm not mad at licking your asshole because I like to talk shit anyway. So this is perfect. This is perfect. But I would gladly, let's go on a date. Let's go on a date.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yes.
Okay, Bianca, what would you like to promote?
Well, just to let everybody know that I am wrapping up my unsanitized tour here in America. So I will be heading to Latin America, Canada, all over the UK and Europe. Australia, dates in New Zealand will be announced soon as well. So if all that information, you can go to thebiancadelrio.com. And also to let everybody know that I'm coming to the UK to do Everybody's Talking About Jamie on their UK tour. And it will be in Los Angeles at the Emerson Theater, mid-January to mid-February. It's a North American premiere of me in this British musical that is happening then. And I'm quite excited because basically the story is a young gay boy who wants to be a drag queen. And I'm playing an elderly drag queen who's generous. So it's very challenging. Very challenging for me.
I don't know. Seems pretty on brand for you.
We'll see.
Old giving drag queen. I love it. Bianca, thank you so much for doing this. You're a fucking delight.
Oh, well, thank you. A tour de force.
A real treat.
It's a pleasure to chat with you. And anytime you want to come backstage, we'll talk lace fronts. We'll make it happen.
Oh, yes.
All right, thank my love. You. Thank you.
Real quick, I just need to read a dirty review. So if you send me a nasty review and you send it to, what is it? Why won't you date me? Yes. Why won't you date me podcast@gmail.com. I will read it. This nice person said, Nicole, if you're reading this, I would love to make a hot fudge sundae on your feet. 2 scoops of vanilla, hot chocolate, whipped cream, nuts and sprinkles, then lap and lick up every last bit of it. While the remnants of ice cream sit in my mouth, I would work my tongue up your naked body, licking all over till I reach your mouth so I can stick my tongue in there and let you have a taste of your own delicious hot fudge foot sundae. Wow, you nasty little freak. I love it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So you got my message. That was my message. Girl, I draw the line with feet. Don't bring feet around. Are you a foot person? Don't tell me.
I am not a foot girl.
I don't care for it.
No, get out of here.
You don't want dirty drag queen feet either. They never look good. So no. I don't care for that. No. Mm-mm. I just got a visual. Oh, gross. That's nasty.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by... oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solo-Taroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.